Welcome to this week's edition of the Fresh Take Podcast with Justin Hart. It is sponsored by Craig's Power Equipment, locally owned, family run, right here in Colorado Springs, corner of Wasatch and Bermejoe. This week's guest list includes Rob Namnoon, Nick Ferguson, Hall of Fame coach Gary Barnett, and Jesse Kurtz from the Mountain West Conference. I'm being joined right now by KRDO News Channel 13 Sports Director Rob Namnoon ahead of Monday night's showdown between the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. And Rob, the first question I have to ask you, has anything changed from day one of training camp up until now with the season opener now approaching?
In terms of what?
Like, your expectations for this team.
Just because, you know, seeing them practice and that sort of thing. No, I think the hardest thing for me, Justin, is just we haven't seen Russell Wilson play in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of questions on that front. But no, I mean, we it's been well documented how tough the AFC West is going to be. And obviously we don't know how things are going to play out or shape up because injuries happen, you know. Teams lose key guys during the season and the ebbs and flows of the season. And obviously, what's been talked about is, and one of the reasons why Nathaniel Hackett kept the starters out of preseason games was it's about playing your best football in December. And we haven't seen the Broncos play their best football in December in 7 years. So there's still some questions out there leading up. Not that I have any doubt they're going to win on Monday against the Seahawks, but we just haven't seen them except for in that, you know, scrimmage against the Cowboys, you know, weeks ago.
That they dominated.
But, again, it's not exactly, you know, going full throttle, you know, bring guys to the ground and that sort of thing. So I don't have any concerns. It's just there's still a bit of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest challenge heading into Seattle?
Just that game?
Yes.
I think it's a good test in regards for two reasons. From what I understand, by all accounts, it's the loudest stadium in the NFL. And they're going to be pumped just because it's a season opener. And then you also have the Russell Wilson factor. You know, there's going to be a lot of emotions for him. I mean, as calculated as he is, he's still a human being. And I'm sure he's going to be a little overcome with emotion. Plus, I think there's also that I want to do a lot. I want to show Broncos country from the first snap that I'm ready to lead this team to great things, which is a nice problem to have. That's probably going to be part of the coaching staff's job is going to be like, okay, we got to make sure that we ease Russ into this game because he's going to want to being a competitor and highly competitor and great athlete as
he is.
He's going
to want to put it on Pete.
Oh, absolutely. He thinks he's got a lot to prove, not just from the Seattle part, but justifying his new contract, being with a new team. They're on national stage. I mean, there's a lot there for Russell Wilson. And I think, you know, we may see a heavy dose early on, especially of Javonte Williams, and then mixed in with Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we speak, the captains have been announced, and this has been it's been talked about during the offseason that this is now a players-led team led by Russell Wilson, and the captains are, of course, Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, Bradley Chubb, and Brandy McManus.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys who are going to be responsible for really leading this team this season. What are your feelings on that?
I think no surprise with Russell Wilson. I mean, one of the things that's lacked in the Broncos locker room since Peyton Manning's retirement is leadership. They had it for another year with DeMarcus Ware, but, you know, he wasn't at his best. He wasn't as healthy and wasn't as available. And I think that's one of the more underrated things in sports is mm-hmm. having players. I mean, when the Yankees won all those years, it was Derek Jeter who set the example and led the way. When the Broncos won with Peyton Manning, it was he led the way. He set the example. Now Wilson's doing that. And not only because they have a brand-new coaching staff, but there is totally different vibe at Broncos HQ now because they're focused, they're determined. I mean, We saw Russell Wilson ask guys to come to San Diego to go play on his number three field, you know, with the logo on it, and they showed up. Had Drew Locke done that? Hey, let's go to Valor Christian. Well, maybe if I have time. It's just different because he's a proven winner.
Yes. Yes, so, they believe in him already. Yeah. He has cred, locker room cred. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think a lot of it is just it's the Russell Wilson effect.
Yeah, and I left Justin Simmons off that list as well. He's also been named the captain.
And he's been a leader in that locker room. He's a guy that players respect. He's respected throughout the NFL. And he's got the right temperament, a lot like Russell Wilson. He's going to be very diplomatic in choosing ways in which to maybe get on guys or to maybe give them a little pat on the backside.
All right. Well, you're going to be in Seattle on Monday night. Let us know some of the coverage we can expect on KRDO News Channel 13.
Of course, we're going to talk a lot about Russell Wilson for a wide range of reasons, which I mentioned a few of them here. We're going to make sure that people get a full understanding of what he meant to the city of Seattle. I mean, he spent a decade there, how they feel about him leaving. And obviously some of the tourist stuff we're going to show you. The game is on our air, so after the game, we're going to have a post-game show leading up to our 10 o'clock newscast, so that could be a good half hour or so of immediate reaction from Broncos players and coaches. So we're just going to, you know, we've covered Super Bowls and we've done a lot of feature stories and gotten you ready for the big game, so to speak. And
where does this rank as far as excitement level?
I've never been to Seattle, so I'm definitely excited about that. It's just another challenge that I love doing the post-game stuff. We did it after the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. We did 20 straight minutes.
It's nothing like getting that raw emotion, immediate emotion.
Exactly.
After the game.
I mean, and especially in this day and age where, you know, people forget about things a moment after it happens. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep them, hopefully, we're going to keep our audience engaged. And yeah, I'm assuming the Broncos are going to win this game because Seattle is certainly in rebuilding mode. And especially when you have Geno Smith as your quarterback, it's not really, he's more of a bridge quarterback, which we saw many times with the Broncos the last couple of years.
There's no doubt Seattle's in the Bryce Young sweepstakes,
yeah, exactly,
per se.
Exactly. I mean, basically their biggest player right now is Jamal Adams. Their defense isn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. It's probably, if you look at both sides of the football, it's probably their strength is their defense. Although they got a nice little rushing attack. But I think, you know, maybe the Broncos don't blow them out, but I think they're going to win. But, yeah, we're
just
– got
a score?
Oh, man, I haven't thought that far.
24-13-ish?
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. And the nice thing is, I hope it's more than 24 for this reason alone. For the last 6 years, the Broncos have been able to barely scratch out 20 points in games. You know, had they been able to score 25 to 30, who knows where they would have gone, especially with the way the defense has played the last few years. Yeah. Right. But it'd be nice to see some games in which, you know, they have five touchdowns. You know, maybe two from running backs and three with Russell Wilson thrown. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go to the Emerald City. I've heard nothing but good things about Seattle, Washington.
Well, Rob, thank you so much. And we're going to be looking forward to your coverage. When does it start?
We'll start Saturday. We leave Saturday. So we're just going to get after it starting Saturday. So
all
Saturday,
right, so
Sunday, Monday, I'll be live from Seattle, and hopefully all goes well.
Yes, hopefully you bring back a Broncos victory. If not, we may have to force you to remain in rainy Seattle.
Get a job in Seattle?
Yeah. Thanks so much,
you
Rob.
You got it.
Back here on the Fresh Take podcast, and now I'm being joined by former Denver Broncos safety from 2003 through 2007 and Denver sports radio host, Nick Ferguson. Nick, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been a quite a ride since the end of last season. We have a new coach, new ownership, but more importantly, and probably most on the fans' mind, we have a new quarterback in Russell Wilson. Nick, talk about how has the last year been leading up to this Monday night opener against the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, we have to go back first and foremost about 3 years ago, I guess, or under the past 3 years under Vic Fangio. And things haven't really fared that well here from a quarterback standpoint. And if you don't have a competent quarterback that can make plays for you in those key moments, your team is going to struggle. And that's something that we've seen here in a while. And I've kind of likened the Broncos quarterback situation to speed dating. And you're constantly going – that's exactly what it's like. I mean, you're going through so many different options, but you never really land on the one that you're set to meet and actually marry. And now the Broncos have found their quarterback, dare I say, of the future in Russell Wilson, and has really changed the outcome and the projection of this team, not just this season, but further down the line. So, you know, you got the Seattle Seahawks coming up, and it's always difficult when you go back to a place where you spent 10 years of your career and you have to face your previous team, makes it that much difficult. They know you just as well as you know them. But the biggest thing for me is the crowd and how they're going to respond to Russell. And he's going to get that Seattle treatment. This time he's going to be on the opposite end of it.
Yeah, the 12s are definitely going to be breathing down Mr. Wilson's neck. Anytime during your career, just to kind of see what Russell's going to be dealing with on Monday night, anytime during your career that you had to go back and face your former team?
Well, for me, I've been fortunate enough, and if you play long enough in this league, you're going to face old teammates and old coaches, and you're going to go back to places where you might have traveled to. And for me, when I played for the Houston Texans right after I left Denver, I was looking forward to that game. And as a member of the Denver Broncos, I played against my former team, the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. I was definitely looking forward to it. So Russell's going to be looking forward to it, but it's not just Russell that's going to be looking forward to it. I know all the conversation, the lead-up is going to be about Russell and his turn to Seattle. But, you know, let's not forget about Noah Fant, Shelby Harris. Those guys are going to want the little get-back too as well. Mm-hmm. And one guy who was expecting a little get-back, but he didn't win a quarterback belt, was Drew Locke. So he has to just kind of be a reserve spectator. But those guys want to get back at your former team. And there's nothing better than beating your former team and then having them come up to you after the game and telling you, hey, how much of a good job that you've done. And you're like, yeah, I know. This is why you guys should have kept me. So it's going to be a lot of emotions on both sides, and managing those emotions are going to be important, especially for Russell Wilson, because just think about it. If Russell doesn't play well and somehow, I don't know. I know they call Seattle the Emerald City, so I don't know if Geno Smith is going to be able to click his heels a couple of times and go back to Kansas, but I do know this. If you were to lose to the Seattle Seahawks, then that's going to be a major news, not just here in Denver, but also nationwide, because they're going to say, well, Seattle made the right move getting rid of Russell.
Yeah, well, I hope that doesn't happen, because even after the Buffalo preseason game, I've had to walk a few Broncos fans off of the bridge following that loss to Buffalo. So I don't want to see that next week.
Well, I don't want to see it either, but just like you, I had to do the same thing with Broncos fans and Broncos alumni, because they looked at that game and said, well, that game was a marker for what this team will be this season. I'm like, well, how can you do that when none of the starters actually play?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where listening to certain media outlets, whether it's print media, television, or even radio, that you are misinformed about what it is that you are actually seeing. So we'll get our first chance to see this team as a unit, both offense and defense, Monday Night Football, and I'm predicting the Broncos win.
Yeah. You obviously had the opportunity to watch training camp and all of the preseason games in its entirety for this Broncos ball club, but the fans have yet to see the starters in action, and this is probably for the first time in the history of the franchise where there were really no starters playing during the preseason. We're going to start with the offense first. What can Broncos country expect to see in the style of play on Monday night?
Well, I'm going to call it smash mouth football, because when you think about where Russell has been and how he's had success, it was kind of running the ball and play action off of that. But I would even take you back even further. Look at any disciple of Mike Shanahan, and you will see exactly what this offense could be. Look at what Aaron Rodgers was able to do with the Green Bay Packers. He had Dylan in the backfield. He had Aaron Jones in the backfield. They utilized their running backs by not just handing it off to them, but also throwing it to them out of the backfield. And they used, you know, the gap scheme, which when you're pulling guys, you're trapping guys, but also they used the zone scheme as well. And being able to do that, you keep the defense off balance and continue to keep them thinking. And keep this in mind. I know Russell gets criticized a lot about what we saw in Seattle last season, but they didn't have a great running game by my account, not like they had in the past. And that was in part because their offensive line wasn't that great. So we didn't get a chance to see our best version of Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this offensive line for the Denver Broncos, I'm not going to say they're the top five best linemen in the league, but they're better than what he had in Seattle. So I'm expecting for those guys to give him adequate protection, but also do a great job in the run game, opening holes for Devontae Williams and Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, Russell Wilson, the most sacked quarterback in the NFL over the past few seasons while in Seattle. That's definitely got to change here in Denver.
Well, yeah, it does, but sometimes they said men lie, women lie, but numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those numbers can be skewed just a little. Because think about it, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I bet if you looked at most of the mobile quarterbacks in this league, they would be maybe in the top 10 as far as sacks, because, once again, those guys like to scramble and get out of the pocket a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you push a guy out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, technically that's a sack. But also these guys, their mobility put them in those types of situations. But it also helps them because more times than not, it gets them out of trouble. So even though I know the numbers for, you know, number of times he's been sacked are up, I get it. It's a combination of offensive line, being a mobile quarterback, and maybe holding on to the ball longer than you anticipate because you are trying to wait for those vertical routes. Right now for Russell, I mean, it is take the short, quick pass. It is there. We've seen quarterbacks with lesser arm talent be successful in this league by taking what the defense gives them. But everyone wants a home run ball like we're playing baseball or something. Take the short passes. Put the ball in the hand of your wide receivers and allow them to work for you.
Quickly here, defensively, what can we see out of this 2022 Broncos defense?
I think we're going to see a more aggressive defense. And that's not to say that the new defensive coordinator, Jure Evero, is going to run a lot of man coverage, but we're going to see guys kind of get after the quarterback. We're going to see a lot of defensive packages to take advantage of the elite pass rushers that they've acquired. And they have some young guys who really don't have a lot of experience and still trying to learn football right now. Those guys have shown me in training camp that, you know, they're going to be a force to reckon with. Obviously, it comes with more playing time, but that's what you want to be able to do. Something the Broncos couldn't do last year, force turnovers and get off the field on third down. I expect both of those areas to improve this year.
A real sore spot for Broncos country over the past few seasons, special teams. They're bringing in a new punter, and we also returning Brandon McManus.
Well, you know, that's been a point of emphasis around here for a while, and that's why they have a very enthusiastic coach in Dwayne Stoops. And I can tell you, being at practice, watching him coach these guys up, yeah, did it get a little spirited at times? Yeah, that's what football is. But to me, it's just kind of a more sense of accountability, especially on that side of the ball. I mean, Brandon McManus is going to be Brandon McManus, and he's going to have more attempts to kick field goals this year. But Colas Waitman, I'm happy for him finally getting his chance instead of being one of those guys that teams constantly call in because he's a left-footed kicker. We finally get a chance to see what he can do and there's no one really behind him, so he's got to live up to expectations. But I expect that this phase of the game, if the Broncos are to get to the playoffs, and mention, notice I didn't say anything about the Super Bowl, they're going to need this particular unit. This particular unit definitely is going to have to show up, and they're going to have to make plays. Either you are getting a long return and you're setting the offense up on with great field position, or you are blocking field goals, or you're blocking punts. This group definitely has to put special in special teams this year.
And the captains of this team, the men who will be leading this 2022 Broncos squad: Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, Justin Simmons, Bradley Chubb, and the aforementioned Brandon McManus. Your feelings on those guys?
Well, a lot of these guys have been here for a while, and obviously they know what it takes. They're just trying to change the culture, and obviously you bring a guy in like Russell Wilson, obviously he's going to get the nod as far as being the captain, because he's been a leader both on and off the field, and not just on the offensive side of the ball. He pulls defensive guys to the side, and they're constantly talking. So, I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer with him. And, you know, Justin Simmons, I mean, for me, Justin Simmons is one of those guys that's a good guy on the field and off the field, but he has yet to experience what going to a playoff actually feels like. So he wants to get that. He feels just like the other guys that with Russell here, it gives him an opportunity. But knowing as though you're rolling out those guys as your team captains, it says a lot. And when you look at Cortland Sutton, the guy's been through a lot. He hurt his knee last year. The year before against the Pittsburgh Steelers, was able to bounce back, wasn't really the same person, a player last season. I'm expecting more out of him. The leg brace is off. The confidence is out of the roof now. So now it's a put up, shut up, and I think he's going to do more putting up than shutting up.
Nick, will the Broncos bring back a victory for Broncos country on Monday night?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to have to match the intensity of the crowd. It's going to be a ruckus environment, and sometimes it's always tough when you're playing on the road to open up the season. But sometimes that's the best way to kick off the season, to get you ready for the long season within itself. And as a coach in NFL and coaching for the 49ers, we made several trips to Seattle, and I can tell you that place is loud. It is really as advertised. So the way that you handle that is like the way that you handle a bully. You punch them in the mouth. If Russell goes out, he scores on that first opening possession, that crowd is going to be quiet. And that's exactly what you want to do. You want to go in and you want to take the crowd out of the game, because now it gives you a chance.
Nick, let our listeners know where they can find you in the Mile High City.
Well, you can find me both on IG and Twitter at @NickFerguson_25. I'm kind of making my rounds here on some of the local television stations and radio stations. So just be on the lookout for that. But hit me up on social media. That's where you can find me.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And hopefully the Broncos can pull off the first victory of the Hackett, Wilson, and I guess you got to include the Walton Pinner era.
Absolutely. After Monday night, it's 1-0.
Brand new era from top to bottom. Thanks so much, Nick. It won't be long before the snow starts to fly, so now is the time to get by Craig's Power Equipment for your snow blowers for this season. Craig's Power Equipment, a local authorized outdoor power equipment dealership serving Colorado Springs. And right now, all mower and snow blowers are 10% off. Save 10% on top brand names like Honda, Echo, Toro, and more. Don't go to the box stores. Go local. Go to Craig's Power Equipment, where all equipment purchases are serviced on site and ready to go, and where all warranties are handled locally. Craig's Power Equipment, corner of Wasatch and Vermejo in Colorado Springs. Justin Hart back here on the Fresh Take Podcast, and I'm now being joined by Jesse Kurtz from the Mountain West Conference. And Jesse also serves as the color commentator on the Air Force Falcons Football Radio Network. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm terrific. I appreciate the invite. It's the most wonderful time of the year. College football season is a great time, and it It crosses so many different people and gets people so excited about the fall season. So I appreciate your interest and looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Jesse, where I'm from, they say college football is a religion and Saturday is a holy day of obligation.
So. I love it. And they're right.
Well, we're entering in week two of the season. Of course, a lot of the conference in the Mountain West, they got an earlier start than the rest of the country as a number of teams participated in week zero. In fact, five of them. But after, I guess, 2 weeks of football in the Mountain West Conference, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's always a good time for overreaction Mondays, right? And overreaction Tuesdays when it comes to college football, and we see that week in and week out. I mean, there were some heavy hitters, so to speak, entering the conference season, thought that Air Force was going to be really good, was going to be a team that could contend for a Mountain West championship, thought Fresno State was in that mix, maybe the best team coming into the year, given what they returned and the schedule that they had. Thought Boise State would be in the mix, Utah State in the mix as well, and San Diego State. Fresno State took care of business, as they should have in their opening game against Cal Poly. Air Force did the same against Northern Iowa. Boise State, San Diego State, both struggled a little bit out of the gate. You know, Boise State went up to Corvallis, Oregon, and the Beavers ran through them, by them, over them. So that was a little bit of a shock. I would expect that Boise State has the athletes to bounce back. San Diego State, a surprise, opening a brand new stadium with Snapdragon Stadium making its debut, taking on Arizona, a team that San Diego State handily beat a year ago on the road in Tucson. And Arizona did exactly the same to them. So, you know, it's always interesting in that opening weekend of college football to see who jumps out of the gates very quickly and who doesn't. But that's why they play 12 or 13 weeks. You got plenty of time to turn it around. But those are kind of the major teams that we're following. Maybe Utah State as well in that mix. They went down to Alabama. You may have heard of them. Didn't fare so well, but nobody goes down to Tuscaloosa and pushes around the Crimson Tide. So there will be better days ahead for Utah State.
This weekend, a lot of big-time matchups, and obviously we're going to start right here in Colorado Springs with Air Force hosting the CU Buffaloes. Air Force, 500-plus yards rushing against Northern Iowa. And the CU Buffs, they gave up 270-plus yards Friday night in their loss against TCU. How do you see this game playing out Saturday at Falcon Stadium, national television audience on CBS?
Yeah, I don't see it being the pushover that the numbers would suggest. I mean, University of Colorado will come down here with bigger, stronger, faster athletes. I don't think that anybody would argue that. So I think that they'll be much better prepared than they were in that second half against TCU. On the flip side, though, I mean, this Air Force offense is really something special. And I think coming into the season thought that they would certainly be special. You got an offensive line that played a lot of snaps together. You got five guys that at the end of the year probably will be in the mix for all conference. There's four juniors and a senior starting on the offensive line with a lot of experience. So you start there and you say, geez, that's a great push up front with some strong guys, some capable guys that really are coached well by Steve Lobotsky, the offensive line coach at Air Force. And then you have the Mountain West leading rusher returning in Brad Roberts, who nearly carried the ball 300 times a year ago, and a senior quarterback. All of those things would add up to being able to do what you want to do on offense. The one thing I wonder about and how Colorado attacks Air Force, and I think this will be the X factor in the game, is Air Force's pass defense against Colorado's pass offense. Northern Iowa was able to throw underneath with with relative ease, I would say, on Saturday. Can Colorado use their bigger, stronger, faster wide receivers in a different way to make more of an impact? And talking to the fellas today, I was up at Air Force, up at the locker room today, there was some talk about maybe some missed tackles and be, you know, a little bit more sound in your technique. So those things have to be shored up, not put the ball on the carpet offensively. You don't want to fumble the ball away. But those are the things that I think if they shore up, I like the Falcons in this game. I really think that this is a special year, and taking on Colorado at home is a special opportunity. So I think it's going to be a heck of an atmosphere on national television.
Any intrepidation by the Falcons coaching staff, because there's a little bit of a quarterback controversy up in Boulder. I talked earlier with former CU head coach and now their color commentator on their radio network, Coach Gary Barnett, and they're trying to decide whether they're going to go with Brendan Lewis or JT Schrout. Schrout seems to be the better passer, so you think that's maybe who the Falcons will see Saturday afternoon?
I think that's where the smart money is on, because I agree he looked better in that game, and he's the more accomplished passer, and he was a highly recruited kid that was at the University of Tennessee before landing in Boulder. It seems as though that's where Buff Faithful want Carl Durrell to go, is play JT Schrout. But, you know, if you are intending on continuing the two-quarterback rotation, rarely at any level does that ever work out, especially if you're splitting time
right
in a game.
Right, you
so
know
I,
the saying.
Yeah, you got two, you have none, right?
Right.
So I would expect, if you're asking me today who the starter is and who they go with, I would say JT Schrout, because I think he offers more of a way to beat teams, especially Air Force. He seems to be the guy that, as you said, a little bit stronger arm, can throw it downfield. The knock on JT Schrout, even when he was at Tennessee, was he believes too much in his arm, kind of like Jay Cutler back in the day with the Broncos. He would force things because he was so strong, so confident, that sometimes he can be his own worst enemy. But if you're asking me who I think is the better quarterback after watching week one and who might play week two at Falcon Stadium, I'd say Schrout.
Moving up north to Fort Collins, CSU will be hosting Middle Tennessee. What's going on with the Rams? Obviously a first-year coaching staff up there. Where's this program going?
Well, I think they are trending upwards for the first time in a while, and that's saying something. This is a program, a very proud program, that was a conference contender for many, many years and won Mountain West championships. And since Jim McElwain left, you know, it has not been the same. You know, Mike Bobo came in, heck of a guy, really good offensive mind. For whatever reason, they just couldn't get over that hump. You know, 7-5 every year just wasn't going to cut it. He ends up getting let go. Steve Adazio comes in, and that was a bad fit from the word go. And I think when they realized that, they had to go in a totally different direction. And that opened the door for Jay Norvell. And full disclosure, I'm a big Jay Norvell guy. Was a big fan of his at the University of Nevada. He runs a fun offense, an air raid offense, where it's a how quickly can we move the ball down the field? How far can we chuck it down the field and let our athletes, our big receivers, go underneath it? So fans love watching that. And then number two, he's a rah-rah guy. He'll get the community involved. He gets his players involved because he truly, deeply does care. It's not just a front. I mean, he is as passionate about, you know, having love for his players as any coach you're going to find. So I think this is a program that is going to go places finally under the right leadership of Jay Norvell. Obviously a first game at Michigan, a top 10 team, a team that played in the college football playoff setting, and you have a freshman quarterback going up there in Clay Millen, who is the son of Hugh Millen, former Broncos backup quarterback. All the pieces are in place. Jay Norvell is just going to need time because everything has changed, but I think CSU finally is trending upwards and just might be a championship contender in short term once again.
All right. Friday night, conference showdown. I guess we can call it a little Mountain West after dark on Friday. Boise State traveling down to Albuquerque to take on New Mexico. The Lobos, they've been experiencing some hard times lately. Is this a program that can maybe kind of start to find their way within the conference?
Well, that's another program that, as you mentioned, some real hard times under Mike Loxley and then Bob Davey, and just never really could find their identity. The coach that's down there right now is as passionate about Lobo football as you're going to find. Danny Gonzalez, played. He was a all-conference defensive back at New Mexico under Rocky Long, and then started cutting his teeth as a coach at San Diego State, and then was a defensive coordinator at Arizona State, an Albuquerque native, comes home, takes over the program. So it means something to him. Have they not realized the amount of success in the 1.5 years that Danny Gonzalez has been down there, but they looked good in the opening season win against Maine, an FCS opponent, won 41-0. I mean, you can only play the team that's in front of you, and you don't allow any points, and you score a bunch of points. That certainly at least suggests that you're on the right path. But, man, they're going to get a Boise State team that is really, dare I say, bleeped off. This is has something to prove off of losing very badly to Oregon State. So they both open in the conference slate down in Albuquerque, and Boise State really has something to prove. So are they catching them at the right time, the wrong time? I suppose we'll see on Saturday. But you know, you got New Mexico, who's 1-0 and feeling good about themselves. Boise State, who's 0-1, who's not feeling so good about themselves. It does present a very intriguing matchup down at the University Stadium.
Jesse, how does the conference feel about the new playoff format?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, this is a league that has had tremendous success, postseason success, since its inception back in 1999. I mean, you can go back to Utah going to the BCS games and beating Pitt in the Fiesta Bowl, Alabama in a Sugar Bowl, Boise State having all kinds of success prior to joining the Mountain West, you know, with the famed Oklahoma game and whatnot. TCU had success in those games. And then Boise State, when they joined the Mountain West, went to a New Year's Six Bowl game in the Fiesta Bowl and beat Arizona. So we have fared very well when given the opportunity, but that opportunity was tough to come by. This right now gives the access. All you want is a shot as
right.
a competitor, right? That's all you want. And our commissioner has lobbied very hard for that. He lobbied Congress in 2009 for a shot. Was at the forefront of pitching some plans in 2011 with a college football playoff that didn't come to fruition in 2016. And then he was on the committee that proposed this 12-team format with six conference champions going and six at large, which got tabled. Temporarily, and that was disappointing, but now all of a sudden it's going to get adopted. So having our commissioner at the forefront and a champion of the group of five saying, just give us a shot. It's the right thing to do. We deserve it. And so it's great. It's great for college football. It's great for the Mountain West. It's great for the group of five to just get their shot. That's all you want. If it doesn't work out that year, it doesn't work out.
Right.
You just want your shot.
And now the coaches around the conference, when they go into homes of prospective student athletes, they can sell that to the student athletes and their parents that you have a legitimate shot now to play for a national championship at a Boise State, at a Colorado State now.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to nearly go undefeated, but at least you know, if you take care of your business and you win every game, because there have been times where you win every game and you have no shot. I mean, Cincinnati obviously did their part last year and got their shot. You want to know that if you schedule up and you play quality teams, and then you mow through and you go 12-0 or 11-1, and your only loss is, let's just make it up, at Alabama. You should be in consideration of those 12 teams to get into a college football playoff. And for the first time, you know, we're going to have a shot at that. And then it just comes down to, on Saturday, you taking care of your business.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to talking with you throughout the athletic calendar year, throughout football season, and, of course, basketball season, and even baseball. Myself, I'm a huge fan of college baseball. So we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
You bet. I appreciate you reaching out, and we're looking forward to a great athletics year in the Mountain West.
No doubt about it. And good luck on the call Saturday at Falcon Stadium with the CU and Air Force. You can listen to that on the Learfield Air Force Radio Network. Back here on the Fresh Take Podcast, brought to you by Craig's Power Equipment, locally owned, family run, right here in Colorado Springs on the corner of Wasatch and Vermajo. We're now being joined by Hall of Fame coach Gary Barnett, former coach of the CU Buffs, and now works as a color analyst on the CU Buff Radio Network. And Coach, you had a tough night on Friday.
Well, you could say that, Justin. We had, you know, we actually played pretty well in the first half. It was a tale of two different teams at two different halves, and you know, I think TCU only had 60 yards of offense at the end of the half. They had a punt return for a touchdown on a, you know, one of those boomerang punts where you punt it so low it comes back at you as fast as it went out. And you know, we really had done a pretty nice job. We'd kicked a couple of field goals. We missed a fourth and one opportunity. And so, you know, everybody was fired up in the stadium and everything looked good. And we came out the second half and one team made a lot of adjustments and the other team didn't. And I think CU got exposed in a couple places, and we're a really young football team, Justin. I mean, we're 18 seniors, no juniors, 90 underclassmen.
Wow.
That's hard. You know, you can't draw on any experiences when you're that young. And the TCU team, on the other hand, had 62 juniors and seniors. So at one point in time, it just got to be a game between experienced veterans and a bunch of young rookies. So we paid the price for it.
Coming out of the game on Friday night, and you see this sometimes early in the season, you got a question mark at quarterback. Coach, you have an update. Is it going to be Brendan Lewis or JT Schrout?
I don't know what to tell you on that, Justin, because we don't know either. And I've been at practice for today, and I'll go tomorrow, last couple of days, and I can't tell you who's going to start either. And it's we went through a whole year of this last year because Brendan Lewis really struggled. I mean, we put up just unbelievably bad numbers a year ago. We were the worst Power 5 team in the country on offense, but we didn't have anybody to go to. We only had two quarterbacks on scholarship, and one of them was a true freshman, and so we just didn't have a lot of choices. Now it seems as though we've got some choices. And I do think there is a little controversy. I think the fans want to see JT Schrout. And I think that at this point in time, I think Coach Durrell is still confident that Brendan Lewis is the guy. So, but we'll see. Schrout came in the game at right 2 minutes left in the first half. The ball was backed up to the 1 yard line and just started throwing bullets and really excited a crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody's sort of been waiting for him to make an appearance. And he went in, if not for a holding call, we probably would have scored at the end of the half, but we didn't. And so came out the third quarter, and Brendan Lewis reappeared. And so Schrout didn't play again in the fourth quarter. So I don't know who's going to start. I think both quarterbacks will play again. I think that was the plan last week. I'm pretty sure that'll be the plan this week.
Yeah, Schrout really injected some life into the CU offense. End up going 13-23, throwing for 157 yards on a Friday night against TCU. Now we look ahead to this weekend's game. You guys got to come down here to Colorado Springs and play at Falcon Stadium. The CU defense gave up 270-plus yards rushing, and now all of a sudden you got to face that bonnet rushing attack of the Air Force Falcons.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be coaching defense right now at Colorado, but they've got their hands full, and they're younger on that side of the ball than anywhere. I mean, three of the four guys in the secondary are really young, redshirt freshmen, and we're playing our linebackers are veterans, and up front we've got some veterans, but it's in the secondary we're really young. And that's a tough go. And, you know, I just happened to watch the Air Force game, and, you know, they're doing a lot of good things. They got the ball. They hurt you outside. They hurt you inside. And they always have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult to get ready for a team like that. in 2 days or 3 days, whatever they have. And I know they probably worked on a little bit in the spring and a little bit in camp and somewhat, at least the concepts of it. But it's still hard getting ready for a team that's so accomplished and done this same thing to people for years and years and years. And so I think if you're a better football team, if you've got more good players, if you're Georgia, Alabama, I think just your players line up and win the game and you don't have to scheme it. But I think if you're not playing with better players, then you have to scheme it to stop this thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what CU's going to do, but I do think that they're going to have to scheme a little bit in order to stop this offense.
Coach, from your experience, how hard is it to get a team prepared to face an option attack when you just don't see that in the big time levels of college football?
Well, the spread teams are running an option, not the kind of option that Air Force is running, but the spread teams are all running some degree, or have been running some degree of option. And it's been very effective. It's slowed down. It's not quite as, you don't see quite as much of it now as you used to, because the guys are protecting their quarterbacks. And that's the most difficult part in practice, is simulating a quarterback who can read all these things and execute it. A scout team quarterback just can't do it. I mean, CU doesn't have anybody that at the quarterback position that runs close to these guys, and so Daniels especially. So, you know, it's really hard to see that kind of speed, and you have to wait till you get into the game, and then, you know, you just hope you can withstand the first volley and get a feel for the game.
Coach, I want to thank you so much. Looking forward to your call on the CU Radio Network on Saturday from Falcon Stadium. It's not often these two teams meet each other on the gridiron. National television audience, it's going to be a big-time atmosphere Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it is, Justin. And these teams haven't met for a long time. And I never wanted to play.
Yeah, you told me that earlier this summer.
I know, I told you. I didn't want to play them. I said if they change offenses, I might play them. But if they're going to play that offense, I'm not playing them in the middle of the year. So anyway, yeah, looking forward to a good game, Justin.
All right, have a great call on Saturday, and hopefully the Buffs can kind of right the ship and get this 2022 season going in the right direction.
You and me both. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach.